They compete hard on the field and play to win.
But in real life, they have a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field with Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Phil Mosher on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
And welcome to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Phil Mosher on 610 Sports ESPN Radio. We have a special NFL draft edition of Faith on the Field coming up tonight featuring interviews with Dabo Swinney, coach of the national champion Clemson Tigers. Doug, were you there for that?
Again, Rob, no, I wasn't.
Yeah, every opportunity I get, I ask Doug if he made it down to the red carpet. We gave you that opportunity last week, and I really appreciate how you prioritize your life. And you really, you know, we said, hey, Doug, can you want to come down? NFL draft, red carpet. And you're like, I wish I could, but I can't.
Like I said, next year we're definitely in. And I think you said something about maybe Faith on the Field at the Super Bowl.
Faith on the Field on the Super Bowl. I think Faith on the Field Super Bowl Radio Row. We should do it live. So guys, start packing your bags, start getting ready, get your reservations ready, because we're headed to Minnesota, of all places. You know, it can't be Arizona this year, can't be California, can't be Florida. It's Minnesota. So we have coach of the national champion Clemson Tigers, Dabo Swinney, will be on with us, and his quarterback, Deshaun Watson, who was selected by the Houston Texans with the number 12 pick in the draft. He will be he's also on the show tonight
for
us.
For them.
You like that? You like how they traded two number ones to move up and get Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, do what you got to do to get the quarterback.
Sometimes,
franchise.
He's going to be under the gun. But after Brock Osweiler didn't work out for them
that
last
big
year,
fail, right?
I think this year should work out a little bit better with Deshaun Watson. And also, we're going to have, from the San Francisco 49ers, number 3 overall pick, Solomon Thomas, defensive end from Stanford. So I had an opportunity to catch up with all three men last week at the NFL draft. All three are Christians, and they are proud and bold about their faith. So I had a chance to catch up with them, and we will hear from them coming up in the next segment. We also have another special guest in studio with us tonight. And I don't know if we could show him on our Faith on the Field Facebook Live, but we can over here. There you go. That is Philadelphia Eagles chaplain, Pastor Ted Winsley from the Family Church in New Jersey. He's in studio with us, and he'll be our special guest for cross training, and we'll do that later in the show. So are you guys excited that we're finally doing some football after Mike Schmidt? We had Daniel Nava, Jared Eichhoff, Jen Mar Gomez. We got some NFL, a little bit of
it's
NFL.
It's time to change
now.
It up a little bit.
Yeah,
and nothing
ready?
Better than a draft special.
Yeah, nothing better than that, and it's why? It's only about 4 episodes in right now that we're finally getting to the NFL.
It's number 5,
and we're finally getting to the NFL.
Baseball is Americana, Rob.
Right? Hey, you know what? And I have a feeling we'll be doing a lot more baseball. We'll be doing a lot more football later on in the show, later on in the episodes. And we do have to tell everyone that next week we are moving to drive time.
Prime time.
5 to 6 p.m. Faith on the Field show. You've heard us at 7 to 8. You've heard us on the podcast and everywhere else. We're going to move to 5 to 6 next week, and we are going to be on in drive time, and we're going to be doing that throughout the summer. So if you're driving down the shore, whatever you're doing, you're in the car, make sure you tune in to Faith on the Field show.
Don't watch us on Facebook Live during that time, but 6:10 a.m. on your radio. So most people don't realize they still have a.m. on the radio,
yes.
But please tune in. Please tune in.
Don't drive and watch. Is that what you're saying? Don't drive
Correct.
And watch Facebook. It's that your public service announcement for the day.
Trying to help the peeps out.
So, guys, a common theme that all the players that we have on the show tonight had is trusting in the Lord. And I heard that in every one of the interviews with them and in all of their interaction on social media. You hear these guys always talking about trusting in the Lord. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to start off the show, and I wish I brought the hat in. I got a little hat that says my favorite Bible verse, or one of my favorite Bible verses, and it's Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. To me, that's, and I think we should do a show on this at some point. To me, that's a Hall of Fame verse. Mm-hmm. You guys think it's worthy of Hall of Fame?
That's a great verse. It's a lot of people's life verse, you know, so people cling to that particular verse. Why does it mean so much to you, Rob? Go ahead.
You know, and it's one of those things that when I was first getting into reading the Bible and studying scripture and learning and memorizing and trying to get which verses are going to apply to me. That was one of the first ones as well. Romans 8:28 is another one. John 3:16 is all time. If you do a Mount Rushmore of Bible verse, maybe we should do that at some point, Mount Rushmore Bible verses, you got to have John 3:16 in there. But I would fight to put Proverbs 3:5-6 as one of the top four. I definitely have it as a Hall of Fame verse. But what this verse tells us is that we should put all our trust in the Lord all of the time, not part-time, not when we feel like it, not when things are going good and it's easy to praise Him, not when things are going bad and we want to run to Him for help. God wants us to put all our trust in Him wholeheartedly all the time. And that next line in the verse is great because all of us are guilty of not doing this. And it says, lean not on your own understanding. And so often we think that we can accomplish whatever we want to achieve on our own. Like, hey, God, I got this. Stay out my way here. Stay out my way, God. Just step back. I know what you want me to do. Yeah, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Yeah, I know I'm not going about this the right way, but it's all good, God. I got this. I'm going to go do what I want. I'm going to go get what I want, but I'll be back when I need you. I'll come back. Just let me have my fun. And when we do that, it's not the way it's supposed to be. And we're not supposed to be part-time Christians. And I say we, all of us, every single one of us, no matter how mature you are in your walk with the Lord, no matter how fresh you are, or no matter how many years you've been, we are all guilty of sometimes being part-time Christians, and we cherry-pick the commandments. We want to follow some days, and you might want to ignore one that doesn't necessarily fit our lifestyle, but we're supposed to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, all of the time. Don't lean on what you think you know. Don't lean on what we feel is best for us. Lean on God's wisdom.
Well, it's interesting, Rob. You know, both the trust and lean words are connected. So, like, trusting is you would throw all of your weight onto something, but we always like to just lean, almost like we have, if you can kind of picture it, almost like we have our walker with us. Our walker is our own understanding, and so we just want to keep leaning back into that. I'm most drawn in that text to the word trust in the Lord with all your heart. Sometimes the biblical the Hebrews' understanding of heart was that it included three elements: the inner person, it included their thoughts, it included their emotions, and it included their choices. And I think that's important because we tend to hear people say, "Well, just follow your heart," only referring to your emotions. But the fact that we, with our choices, by the power of God, would say, "Listen, God has given me my heart. I can choose where to place my heart's desires," as opposed to just say, "I'm going to follow what I feel." I think that's a great understanding. Your choices, or this act of volition, is really a part of how we choose to follow God, not simply get drawn along by what we're feeling at the time.
So we are supposed to lean on God's wisdom.
Absolutely.
Lean on God's promises. Lean on God's goodness. Lean on God's greatness. And then it says, in all your ways, submit to Him. He wants us to include Him in all of our decisions. And that's another thing that is very difficult for all of us to do all of the time. He wants us to be included, to include Him in big decisions, in small decisions. And I think that's the great thing, that the Lord cares about us so much that He wants to be part of everything in our lives, all of our decisions, not just the tough ones, not only when we're agonizing, we have a major event in our life, or we have a big problem, or we have a serious issue. We should include Him in every aspect of our lives. And I look at it like this, Doug. It could be something as silly as you're working out and you're going to the gym and you're putting in the time, you're putting in the hours, and you know right after that workout you need a protein shake, right?
Usually
within 30 minutes, right? But then you go home and your wife's got some like really elaborate fancy dinner, and it may have some carbs that you don't want to eat at this particular moment, or your buddies are eating pizza
and wings,
know?
Right?
Pizza and wings. So, you know, guess what, though? God's there for that. He's there in that moment. It might sound as silly as it sounds to anyone thinking about including God in a moment of weakness in your diet. Don't be so shy to say, help me resist the temptation of eating unhealthy, because when you make God your go-to in those small decisions, it's easier to make him then the go-to in the tough decisions in your life. It makes him the person you want to go to when you need to resist the temptation of doing something that could wreck your marriage, or you need him to help you resist doing something that could damage your life forever, or you need to resist something that can ruin a friendship, or whatever vice you have. None of us are perfect. So if we do submit to him in all of our ways, if we follow him in everything we do, he will make our path straight. He will give us that incredible peace we all desire. And that leads to prosperity that's greater than any wealth or anything material. You with me?
Totally with you. You know, the idea of directing our paths, too, actually has this idea that he'd make the paths straight. I was thinking, like, you know, you guys did that race this a couple weeks ago,
Saturday.
Right?
Yeah, Saturday, yeah.
Saturday. So
the Spartan run, right?
Yeah. Yep. What you probably taught those guys to do was run the straightest, direct, most path possible. In other words, get to where you want to get to as efficiently as you possibly can.
The problem is the course wasn't lined that way. It was going around and around and up and down and all
that. But even then,
place.
You're looking for efficiency when you're running, right,
sure.
Doug? So here's the thing. Only God makes the path straight. If we try to figure it out on our own, we're wandering all over the place, Rob. We're like going different directions, and then we got to go back and rethink it, and then we got to change our mind again. Only God is the one who makes the path straight. He leads us in the most efficient, most profitable way for us possible. So it's a really cool reminder, but that comes from trusting him, not from trying to figure it out on our own.
You know, Rob, you talk about making God part of your small decisions, and I think a lot of times we think we can handle the small decisions on our own, and then we'll just give God the big decisions.
All the time, right?
Yeah, but it is kind of, if you go back to your working out metaphor, right, you have to work small muscles in order to stabilize for the big muscle movements also. And we've got to pay attention to the small things. And so when you say give God part of your life in every aspect, right, not just the big things, but also the small things, then you're well-rounded, and you don't have any of those imbalances. You don't have any of those compromises in different areas.
Well, enough of the small things add up to big things too, don't they, Doug? Enough
sure.
Small decisions eventually bring us to the major decision where we either choose to follow God or not to follow God. So we should be thinking of following God in the smallest decisions.
You know, and Rob, this is our draft special, right? So we have the draft that just happened last week, and that brings me to a point that we were talking about a little bit earlier, where you have a guy that is projected to go in the top 10.
Happens every draft.
And all of a sudden he drops down into the end of the first, into the second round. But then you take another guy that goes to the combine, like how the Eagles drafted Sidney Jones, tears his Achilles, and he's projected to be a top 10 pick, maybe the best cornerback in the draft, as some might say. When your identity's found in those moments and the ability of what you can do, and all of a sudden that's taken away from you, what do you have left? And you're trusting in your own ability to get you where you need to go. I'm going to take care of my family. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to be projected to be drafted here. I'm going to go to this team, and I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden, the circumstances change. Then what happens? And I think that's where the verse really becomes applicable to our lives, as opposed to just, hey, you know what? Everything's going great. I'm going to go to the NFL, and look how great God is directing me and all these blessings. But all of a sudden, it changes. God's still the same God that he was there in the good times and also the bad times. But maybe he's just trying to teach you something else, and that you can use that to help others.
Whether it's patience, whether his plan is better than your plan, whether it's waiting for the right time, or sometimes he's just trying to humble you. Sometimes it could be as little as something that he can feel that a guy needs to be humbled. If someone's out there and, you know, they're going to be a top three pick, top five pick, and they start to slide, you're losing money. The further you go back in that draft, you start to lose money, and the egos get involved. They only invite 21 people to the draft. That's 21 guys who are expecting to go in the first round. Five guys did not get selected of the 21 who were here last week. Five of them didn't get selected. Four of them went home the next day. They didn't want to stick around for the second round. DeShone Kizer stuck around, and he said, I came here, and I wanted to get introduced, and I wanted to walk down that red carpet, and I'm going to stick around. But the other four guys, they went home. We don't know the circumstances in that, but sometimes it's easy for these guys to be like, man, I thought I was going to get drafted here, and I wanted to get picked here, and now I got to wait till the second day, and it's embarrassing.
But I think that gives a distinct difference between somebody that would have their faith in God and somebody that wouldn't. Because what does that give you? Well, you take a guy like Reuben Foster, who gets drafted 31 by the 49ers, and they said he projected to go really high. I heard some interviews where they're saying, man, I would hate to be across from him during training camp because he's going to start thumping guys. He's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder and show that he deserved that top 10 pick.
He might hurt somebody.
He might. He might. But you take a guy and you say, well, he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. Not that the Christian wouldn't do that, but the Christian may view it as, well, God has something different for me. And it kind of gives you a different hope as opposed to saying I was wronged or my identity wasn't found in that. It's just a different perspective that potentially we can go to. Well, and that's where that verse really comes into play.
Well, and I think that's because trust often means waiting. I mean, we don't really know that we're really trusting God until we have to wait. So just imagine the draft is a bit of a microcosm of life. Those guys are waiting for their number to be called, for their name to be called. But that's where most of our listeners are too, Doug. They're waiting for something. And so our trust in the Lord says, listen, I'm going to trust and I'm going to wait with a good attitude as opposed to with an attitude where I'm going to thump somebody when I actually do get chosen.
Well, it'll be good to talk to Pastor Ted a little bit later and see his perspective on how guys deal with that and also injuries that potentially would occur. And you're worried about that rookie coming in taking your spot, or you're worried about it's your contract year and you might not be renewed. So, from being in the mission field at that point, I want to see what advice you'd give guys later on. So I look forward to that in a cross training segment.
And all of us are waiting for something. Every single one of us is always waiting for more or wanting more. And it's really difficult to live and just be completely satisfied in the present here and now. You want this or you want that. And hey, God, when am I going to get this? When am I going to get that? But if you put and commit your full trust in Him, you recognize and you realize you will get what you need when He feels you should have it.
Well, and I think that's what the Apostle Paul says when he says, I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. So contentment means I'm willing to wait if that's what God needs me to do.
It's a great lesson, but I have a lot of graduating seniors right now looking for jobs.
They're tired of waiting, aren't they?
they're just realizing for the first time what it's like in order to have to wait and not have the answer right away. And it's a great lesson, and it's nice to see. And it's like, just wait. The rest of life's just like that.
Yeah, it's great.
When we come back from the break, we'll have Clemson coach Dabo Swinney on. We'll hear from new Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. We'll also hear from 49ers defensive end Solomon Thomas. You are listening to Faith on the Field show on 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
Ranked one of the most beautiful Christian colleges in the world by Christian Universities Online, Eastern University is the place where you can advance your career with an empowering education. With several locations in the Philadelphia area and online classes, Eastern offers undergraduate, master's, and doctoral programs in business, education, counseling, and psychology, healthcare, ministry, and many other areas. Learn more by visiting eastern.edu. Brought to you by the Department of Kinesiology and the College of Health and Social Sciences at Eastern University.
What does Boggs Auto believe? Boggs Auto believes that after an accident, your vehicle can and will be like it was before the accident. Boggs Auto believes and knows for certain that when you have an accident, it is your choice who you take the vehicle to. Boggs Auto believes that giving back to the community makes us all stronger. And each year, they donate a vehicle to a family or organization that is without transportation. Boggs Auto believes that God is in control. Check them out at BoggsAuto.com.
Hey, we get it. You're facing a lot of pressure. You gotta make money. You gotta have a life. You're running your kids everywhere, and you have to keep it all together. Easier said than done, right? Well, not necessarily. We're not experts. We just understand the pressures people face, and our resources are here to help. Contact Biblical Strategies for help that can begin to make a real difference. Just go to biblicalstrategies.com. Biblicalstrategies.com.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University. Rob Motti with Doug Horton, Pastor Phil Moser on 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. I want to take a second, guys, and tell you, Doug, you know all about this. You've heard me talk about needing a new fence around my house, right? You've heard about that?
Yeah, you came back from Clearwater, right? You're Phillies preseason and came back and needed a fence.
Yeah, that old wooden one was falling apart. Well, my wife, Remy, is very picky, so I couldn't just hire anyone for the job. I had to make the right choice. That's why I went to Berger Fence Company in Sewell, New Jersey. They are South Jersey's oldest and most respected name in fence. Their crew came over last weekend and installed a beautiful almond-colored vinyl fence with solar caps all on every post going all the way around. It lights up the whole neighborhood, and it looks incredible. Remy loves it, and if she's happy, I'm happy. So I want to say thank you to Berger Fence Company. If you're looking for a fence, they can handle all your fencing needs. They will also customize the fence as needed in their fabrication shop right there on Main Street in Sewell, New Jersey. Only their qualified employees will install your fence. They do not use subcontractors. Call Ed Smith at 856-468-2300 and schedule your appointment today. Don't forget to ask Ed about your free gate when you purchase 100 feet or more of any fence. That's 856-468-2300 and ask for Ed Smith or check them out at burgerfence.com. You can also stop by their shop at 732 Main Street in Sewell. Say hello to Mark and Patty Berger. They're the owners. They're awesome people and very big sports fans. Berger Fence Company has served more than 48,000 satisfied customers over the past 63 years in the tri-state area. You can be their next happy customer. I also want to thank Michael Thomas and Lisa Woods from Eastern University for helping me out last week at the NFL Draft and making sure we had all the sound for all these interviews. And as you all know, the NFL Draft was in Philly last week, and I was there covering it for the first time for the draft, but covering the Eagles portion of the draft for the 18th straight year for the Associated Press. And I had an opportunity to speak to Clemson coach Dabo Sweeney on the red carpet, and I remember when Clemson beat Alabama 35-31 in a national championship game, and it struck me how emotional Coach Sweeney was after that victory and how thankful he was to God for the blessing. And the first words out of his mouth in his post-game interview on the field was, "Only God can do this." And then he said that again after he hoisted the trophy on the stage in front of everybody in the stadium. So I apologize for the sound. It was windy out there. It was noisy. But here's what Coach Sweeney had to say when I spoke to him last week.
Can you tell me how your faith has guided you throughout your journey as a coach in the NCAA?
Well, I mean, I as a person of faith and kind of the fundamentals of my life, I just keep my eyes on the Lord in everything I do. You know, every decision I make, every good or bad thing that I encounter, I just keep my eyes on the Lord, and I believe in myself, you know, I don't ever quit doing that. I mean, so I just try to have a daily focus and keep the main thing the main thing, not get caught up in all this type of stuff, but try to keep my life simple, and I just embrace what God's called me to do every single day, and I never take it for granted. It's such a privilege to be.
Well, it sounded a whole lot better. It sounded a whole lot better when I heard it. I don't know what happened there and how that translated that way. But what I'll tell you is what he said. I keep my eyes on the Lord in everything I do. Every decision I make, every good or bad thing that I encounter, I keep my eyes on the Lord. And it's. He also said it's such a privilege to be in a position to impact so many people's lives. And Coach Sweeney also said, as Christians, whatever line of work you're in, try to stay faithful to your purpose in life, and that should be to let that light shine.
There's a great story there, I think, Rob, if I can mention it. You know, most people only know him as the national championship winning coach, but there's other sections of his life. He used to coach, you may remember, as an assistant for Alabama, and then they got in University of Alabama, and then they got into that NCAA violation, and so he was out of coaching. He wasn't responsible for those violations, but because all of the assistants got released, and he thought he could get back into it right away, but he didn't, and he couldn't. And he speaks of being in need and actually selling real estate for a while back then.
Yeah.
which is really remarkable, because I was reading he was actually hired. The guy who hired him was one of his coaches before, and he said, I hired him largely because of his Christian testimony, because I knew him to be a man of God, essentially. And he said, even though I know that's not politically correct to do, that's why I hired him. And so he was even really good at that, but his desire was always to get back into coaching. So maybe when he makes that statement that you heard him say, like, only God could do this, he's remembering what it was like to be back there, you know, 20 years ago or so.
Oh, I like how he was saying, too, you got to keep the main thing the main thing. And I think that was repetitive throughout his whole interview, was keep the main thing the main thing. And that wasn't necessarily winning the national championship, right?
Yeah.
It's your priorities. And some people may may not understand what that means, but that's what he was getting at.
Yeah, I think there's another cool part of that. I mean, Tommy Bowden, who was the coach at Clemson, actually said he saw the thing as kind of God's providence because he connected back with Sweeney in a church service someplace. Like after church was over, they were there together, and he said, I was looking at him and somebody else to maybe hire as an assistant, and he said, I ended up thinking maybe God's in this thing. And I think they said something like, hey, why don't we both pray about this before we actually make a determination? So you could see a guy who was faithful to the Lord, God opened up that door. A guy who trusted in the Lord with all his heart, God was the one who actually made his path straight or directed it.
And that's exactly what he says. I keep my eyes on the Lord in everything I do, every decision I make. And that fits in exactly with what we're saying about Proverbs 3, 5, 6. And just the emotion that he had. If you guys saw him crying mm-hmm. on the field afterwards, put his head down. That was a guy who was so appreciative of everything that happened there in that moment. And he was so thankful for the opportunities he had at Alabama years ago. And the fact, I think it had to mean a little bit more to him that they beat Alabama absolutely. To win. You know, they beat his former team.
Yeah, but don't you think, Rob, that if he would have lost that game, he probably still would have had that same reaction. I mean, that's the way he's kind of coming across. Now, it's hypothetical. But that was his attitude, and I don't think it was just because he won that he had that attitude. I think this is something that's been in him for a long time.
And he's lost a lot of those games, too. He's lost a lot of those big games.
Well, and he as a coach, too, has sought to impact the players in such a way. Rob, there's this story of the fact that both he and Tommy Bowden would sometimes say, hey, if we're in a away game and we got the Sunday morning where we're coming back, they'd say, whoever wants to go to church, we'll bus you to church. And they'd get the kids who wanted to go to church, and they'd take them. I mean, you know, his commitment to players was far more than just playing football and getting them up to the NFL. His commitment was really towards the total person.
That's impressive. Now, Deshaun Watson is another guy who is, as we said, a bold Christian, proud of his faith. His Twitter bio reads, God, family, school, football. God is first. And the Texans traded 2 first-round picks to move up 13 spots to take Deshaun Watson at number 12. And this is what he had to say last week.
Deshaun, can you tell me how your faith in God has guided your life to this point?
It's just guided me through all the struggles, all the adversity, keeping me balanced, keeping me grounded, keeping me humble, and really, truly being grateful for and thankful for all the opportunities that I have.
How important is it to be thankful in the good times, thankful in the bad times, to always have that there, to always have the man upstairs to be able to rely on?
Because it's a person that will never let you down. He's always going to lead you on straight, tell you the truth, and make sure you're going down the right path. So having that and, you know, as my backbone and my first priority is awesome.
God is the only person who will never let you down. I love that. Here's a kid who already recognizes that at this stage of his life. It takes so many of us out there, so many years. We may have false idols. We may have false heroes. And he already realizes, no matter what, good or bad, the only person, number one, who will never let him down is the Lord.
Yeah, there's another cool story about Deshaun Watson. He was 1 week before they won the national championship. He was given an award called the Bobby Bowden Award, which is given to the Division I football player, Christian athlete, who most communicates or exemplifies as a Christian athlete what he should. And when they gave him the award, they said something like, it was said of him that he conducts himself as the model, role model in the community, classroom, and on the field. So, you know, Deshaun Watson was consistent throughout. What I loved was how he received the award. My brother-in-law was telling me the story because he was at a big church in Florida, and all of a sudden in walks Deshaun Watson, and they give him the award. And he said, Phil, I most noted that most guys say, I want to thank the Lord for what he did. But Deshaun Watson said, God has given me the chance to play football as a way to honor him. Like Deshaun Watson not only saw that God was leading him, but he saw that his football skill just wasn't for him to be used for himself, but that he was to use his skill to honor the Lord in some way. So that's a powerful package when you got a quarterback that thinks that way and a coach that thinks that way.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you're looking to draft a guy, especially a quarterback that you look at as captain of your team, I heard a little quote that was out there where scouts, when they're looking for these college kids, that it used to be 30% private investigator, 70% scout. And nowadays, and with all the talk that they had about guys that had baggage and all this other stuff, where it's more of 70% private investigator, 30% scout.
That's
now.
That's incredible.
So, well, you're looking for a guy that's not going to ruin your team. He's going to be a good guy, let alone being the leader, the franchise of the team. I thought that was a pretty cool quote as far as how much character plays a role in the guy that you're drafting.
Well, and I think some of that happens too because you're entrusting these athletes not only with tremendous fame, but you're also entrusting them with a lot of money. So where there's character there, there's the possibility that they can receive both of those things, Doug, fame and money, and not respond to it in a way that just in a way that leads them the wrong way and takes the team down. That's probably a great question to ask Pastor Ted here in a second.
We have a lot of questions for Pastor Ted. Can't wait.
We might have to bring him back another night.
Well, we're going to bring him back really quickly too. And the other kid, Solomon Thomas, really impressed me with his character. So humble. And his Twitter bio starts with, "I love the Lord and my family." So that was our first question for Solomon Thomas.
Yes, sir. You know, I'm very strong in my faith. My grandpa was a preacher. My mom was, you know, I just go into Bible study, you know, church and just learning in Sunday school. So just, you know, that's huge for me and my family. You know, they've been there for me since day one. All of them are my rocks, you know, who I go to when times are hard. I love them so much.
How much do you think that'll help you in the NFL to have that as your background, as your fallback?
It's going to help me a lot. You know, when times are hard, you know, I always have something to fall onto and always have something to go read that's going to motivate me to go push somewhere else and be the man I can be and always be the best person I can be.
And that's another kid that gets it at a young age. And I had an opportunity to speak to his mom the night before the draft, and we spoke about the family and their faith, and he said there's pastors in the family and how he was going to Bible study at a young age. It's just really cool to see a kid like that, as good as he is, to be the number three pick in the draft. And the 49ers, when they traded down from 2 to 3, they thought the Bears wanted him at 2, and the Bears ended up taking Mitchell Trubisky, and they thought they couldn't get him. But then there they are at 3, and he's still there, and they were still thinking of trading back, but he was there on the board, and you can't pass up a kid with that kind of talent and that kind of character.
He was a big boy, wasn't he, Rob?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, he would do well on our Goliathon, on my Goliathon team. You got your own, you know, you're doing good.
You don't want to be too heavy for that.
Yeah, is that what it, you got to have a little bit of strength. So
I think it's a cool dynamic too here, Rob, that the family plays such a factor in that, and the family being sacrificial. Obviously, your mom's getting up every. He said, "What? My mom's getting up every day and dragging me to Sunday school and Bible study." So those were sacrifices mom made in the early process too. So family plays a critical role as well in how these kids end up developing character.
That's awesome. And we thank Coach Sweeney for taking a few minutes with me last week, and Deshaun Watson and Solomon Thomas. And I'm sure we'll hear a lot from them in the NFL. And Coach Sweeney, as he leads the Clemson Tigers to defending their national championship. When we come back on Faith on the Field show, we're going to be joined by Pastor Ted Winsley, the Philadelphia Eagles team chaplain. And we will be doing our cross-training segment, which is powered by Boggs Auto Collision Rebuilders. This is Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. Hey guys, it's Rob Motti. I want to tell you about a can't-miss event that's coming up in a few months. I did it last fall. It's called Goliathon, and it's a Ninja Warrior-type obstacle run that's tiered for all skill levels, which means you can run the event as a family or as a group of friends, even if you're at different fitness levels. The course is about 4 miles long with 12 tiered obstacles that are unique, challenging, and a load of fun. And the best part is, all proceeds fund clean water projects in developing countries. The next event is in Malka Hill, New Jersey on June 3rd. Entry price increases are coming soon, so sign up today. Go to goliathon.com for details.
Guys hate to admit it, but sometimes things can start to feel a little out of control. We procrastinate, we battle with anger, and we start to worry about our finances. But we're here to help. At Biblical Strategies, we've spent over 20 years helping people begin to think about life with the help that God offers. Contact us for resources that can begin to help you today. Go to biblicalstrategies.com. Biblicalstrategies.com.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Phil Moser on 610 Sports ESPN Radio. Joining us now for our cross-training segment powered by Boggs Auto Collision Rebuilders is a very special guest, Pastor Ted Winsley. He is the Eagles team chaplain and the pastor at the Family Church in New Jersey. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Welcome. I'm honored and happy to be here.
Welcome, Pastor Ted.
It's great to have you with us.
It's great to have you now with the microphone turned. You've been sitting here for the first 30 minutes. And
Facebook last night, what's going on?
And I loved your reactions. And I'm watching you, and you're engaging, and now we get a chance to talk to you. But tell us, when you became the Eagles team chaplain and what that process is like for you.
Yeah, well, it's pretty interesting. 17 years ago, Troy Vincent asked my late pastor, Pastor Lamont McLean, who pastored Living Faith Christian Center, Troy Vincent saw him on television and asked him to come and do a Bible study. I had just left working for FUBU. Everybody remember FUBU?
Oh, yeah.
I used to work for Damon John from Shark Tank. I was national sales manager, did marketing, sales, and I was asked to come full-time at my church where I did broadcasts, things of that nature. Anyway, so they asked my pastor to come to do a Bible study. I carried the Bibles and held the mic, and after the first year, my pastor looked at me and said, "I'm not supposed to be doing this, kid. You are." And I've been doing it ever since, 17 seasons.
How about that? So obviously Troy then played a big influential role in your life. He's helped me tremendously too.
Troy's the man.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's an awesome guy. And who are some of the other players over the years who've been influential? Christians on the team who are, and guys who maybe you've seen their spiritual growth just grow tremendously.
Yeah, well, I'll even start just from the leaders, because really the Bible study that we currently are Bible studying. Anyway, it really started off with Reggie White, and then Reggie passed it on to Troy, because during each era, there's a leader. And so Troy was the leader of the team, as well as the Bible study. And when Troy left, he passed it on to Doc. Doc had the helm for a while. And when Doc left, he passed it on to Jason Avant. And then from Jason Avant, Nick Foles, believe it or not, was the leader of the Bible study. And now we've got several, Jordan Matthews, Trey Burton, Chris Maragos, Carson's in there. So it's really cool. But the other question that you asked me is, who have I seen lives transformed? It's pretty amazing. Ike Reese. I don't know if you guys know Ike.
Yeah, sure.
Ike got born again in Bible study. I got a list. Javon Curse.
How about that?
Dimps.
Yeah.
Winston Justice was actually a Jehovah Witness, and he gave his life to Christ and came out of that. Lito Shepherd, Brandon Graham, just recently, probably about 2 years ago, right when you saw the change. Brandon got his life together, gave his life to Christ, got married to Carla. And it's just amazing seeing. What people don't realize is that oftentimes what's going on in the field is really, there is a correlation to what's going on in these guys' personal lives.
Now, Rob, you talk about that with Cesar Hernandez. You know how he got saved last year, middle of the baseball season.
And look at him now. He's hitting .340 and having a great year. But, yeah.
Do you ever, Pastor Ted, you know, a question. Do you ever see guys that think they see this transformation. They see guys start playing really well.
Sure.
Do you see other guys say, "Hey, I want some of that because I want to get better"? Like, how do you differentiate?
It's funny. Of course, our perspective is, hey, whatever brings them in, it doesn't matter.
But just get there.
But that's the wrong sales pitch, right?
Well, here's the thing, and that's the interesting part. When other guys see transform lives and they see the change, they want it. You know, I'll never forget. I forget what year it was. You guys maybe could probably help me. Lito Shepherd was on the team. He came into Bible study. Sheldon Brown.
Sheldon Brown. Everybody remembers that hit in that playoff game. Reggie Bush.
Sheldon, actually, I married Sheldon. Sheldon gave his life to the Lord and started doing better on the field. Lito Shepherd's in there. And during the Bible study, Lito was hilarious. He says, "So are you telling me," so he's listening to this, "that if I give my life to the Lord, that I'll be a better husband, I'll be a better man, and I'll be a better player?" And everybody in the room says, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, let's go then." That was on a Thursday. That Sunday was the game against the Cowboys, where Lito intercepted the ball and ran it all the way back for a touchdown. I think we made it to the playoffs because of that. The next Bible study, all the cornerbacks were sitting
there. And how many of them kept coming back?
Many of them.
Yeah.
Well, and I think this is the thing with the Bible study here in Philadelphia is these guys are hungry. And when they're serious about, again, like they may start off wanting God to bless or to be a lucky rabbit's foot, but they quickly come in there. We keep it real in there. They quickly realize that it's about a changed life. And when guys see lives change, they want it too.
Now, there's an article that I read that you actually have Trey Burton
yeah.
baptizing guys in the Cole Whirlpool in the athletic training room. So that, as an athletic trainer, you know, knowing Chris Peduzzi,
yeah.
You know, as an athletic trainer, seeing that, I'm like, that's the best use of a Cole Whirlpool I've ever seen.
I've never been in the cold tub before until then. but it was crazy. During that year, the guys were just hungry about what their lives changed. We're talking about transformation. I did a series on identifying with my conversion. And we talked about water baptism being a sign of a conversion. And we did that for about 3 weeks. And at the end of the series, guys were like, let's go. You know, what prevents us from getting water baptized? And Trey was like, come on, man, let's go in the cold tub. And I was like, can we do this? Like, you know, and next thing I know, we're in the cold tub and five of the players got received that. Well, a couple of them.
Marcus Smith, again. Right?
It was Marcus Smith, Jordan Hicks, Camus, Paul Turner, Michael Kendricks, David Watt.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Great.
Yeah.
You know, Kendricks is a guy I had talked to when I was doing Football Faith, writing my book, and there were so many guys from the Eagles, Jason Avant, and
sure.
I would go to Jason and be like, who do I go to? And he'd tell me, and then you know, Nick Foles. And Michael was a guy that at that time, this was 2-3 years ago, and I remember having those conversations with him, and I remember telling him about getting into a Bible that had just explained more, you know, at the bottom had explain things to you and just would tell you what it's meaning. And he said, yeah, they really got those out there. I'm like, yeah, man, you don't have to just read the verse and try and understand it on your own. It'll tell you what it means at the bottom. So you got to get yourself one of those good study Bibles.
Yeah. Well, back to your point just about the influence. A pretty interesting story. Probably no one's ever heard it. Live on 610 ESPN Radio. Is just before the season started, I don't know if you guys remember that Trey Burton tore his calf. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all remember that. Mm-hmm. I got a phone call from Trey, and it's interesting. Just speaks to these guys' faith. Trey called me and said, hey, Pastor Ted, I think I tore my calf. I need you to lay hands. And he called me like I was a trainer. And and I heard his faith. And I said, hey, man, what do you want me to do? He said, can you come over to the house? I came over to his house. His leg was in a boot. His wife and his kids were waiting there. We all laid hands, and we prayed. And then 2 days later, I got a phone call from Michael Kendricks. And Kendricks called me, and I kind of lost track of what happened. Kendricks called me and said, yo, man, it's real. And I said, what's real? He said, what happened to Trey? I said, what are you talking about? He said, I tore my calf just like Trey did. I'm sitting on the table, and the next day, Trey's running around, and there's nothing wrong with him.
Same injury.
And he said, I asked him, hey, what shot did you get? And he said, Pastor Ted, pray for me, man, and the Lord heal me.
Jesus shot.
Amen. And Michael Kendricks just said, I'm coming. And 45 minutes, he was knocking on my door. And 45 minutes later, he gave his life to the Lord. And I explained to him that you're not here for something physical. I said, this isn't magic. I said, Trey trusted God. I said, but he trusted God because he has a relationship with him. And he wound up, you know, trusting the Lord.
You know, on the opposite end, we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, sliding in the draft and potentially getting injured and finding your identity in the ability to play with your teammates. When God doesn't answer that, you know, how do you, it's great when, hey, it works out and God's like, hey, you know, we got healed quick. But sometimes we think that prayer's a magic potion that all of a sudden, hey, we pray and we're going to get the win or, you know. I went to Christian school growing up, and we have two Christian schools playing against each other, and you know, both teams are praying, and it's like, which team does God like more, right?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
it's like both teams are praying, so
yeah.
But that's not what it's really about.
It's
so
not.
How do you counsel guys when things don't go well, when they don't get healed,
right.
And they don't get the answer that they want necessarily?
The reality is that we share with the guys that football is a season. It's not your purpose. It's a platform. Because if it were your purpose, it wouldn't end, and it does end. And so by allowing them to realize that it's a platform that God uses to give him glory, to bless other people. And as the word of God says that in this life, you will have tribulation. It says, but be of good cheer. It doesn't say because I'm going to fix all your problems. It says because I've overcome the world. And I think that's really what the Bible study and what faith is about. On the team currently is giving the guys a foundation. And the reality is that sometimes God doesn't answer your prayers. And guess what? We realize as believers, oftentimes we die of our last illness or sickness, but it really is about the relationship that you have with Christ throughout your life. So that really is what it's about, grounding them in the truth and realizing that it really isn't about God being a lucky rabbit's foot, but it's about your relationship.
You guys remember in the Mike Schmidt interview, remember Mike said he became a Christian and the very next year was one of his worst years playing.
Absolutely.
And so he just learned to give everything to the Lord out of that, which is probably the direction.
And I'll tell you, and I have to kind of, I share this, I give the guys a really disclaimer because I see that happen a lot. Many guys, they give their lives to the Lord and now here comes the tribulation. Hmm. Brandon Boykin, I'm still believing he's coming back, but he's also another example. Brandon really got serious about God and here comes the fight. And he realizes, we talked the other day, that this is also his platform, the adversity.
Well, and we talked about that in a show, two shows ago, too, that suffering sometimes becomes even a better platform. I wonder, I'm just wondering, Pastor Ted, if the reason they play better is because their identity is different.
Absolutely.
In other words, for the
100%.
First time, they're saying, okay, I'm just not a professional athlete.
Yeah.
I'm actually a believer.
Absolutely.
I'm playing for someone else other than, because the fans, frankly, can be a little fickle, can't they?
They can
go one way or the other.
Not in Philly. Come on.
Not in Philadelphia.
That's right.
God isn't fickle in that way.
No,
God
is
faithful throughout.
Yeah,
so I think their identity is different.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've watched games. And that's why I said that it's really cool seeing, because there many of them are just young men. I've watched the game. I'm in the game, and all of a sudden I get a phone call, and it's one of the players that I thought was out there, and now he's in the locker room. He took himself out of the game because he had anxiety or was just upset about things not going right, and just kind of having to talk them back into their faith. And you better get back on the field, So yeah, it really is. It really is amazing.
And you mentioned how it leads to tribulation. A lot of people don't realize being a Christian isn't easy.
That's right.
Being a Christian may, and we want to do a whole show on this at some point, but being a Christian, I always say, the closer you walk with the Lord, the harder the enemy tries to pull you
apart.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's great that you impress that upon these guys that, hey, this isn't a lucky rabbit's foot, that your life is going to be more difficult from here on out.
Because now it's intentional. Now you understand why you're here.
And now, you know, the Lord's using you on this platform. Mm-hmm. There are so many influences and so many different things that can try and bring them down. How do you try and prepare them for that part of it?
Sure. Again, just really trying to, as we already said, as any believer, learning that our identity must be in our relationship with God. One of the major things I share with the players is that temptation is not around you, it's in you. And the thing that tempts you really is just a clue to let you know what infiltrated.
You got
to
say that again, because that's really good for everybody out there listening.
It's,
say
it's
that again.
It's real that temptation is not around you, it's in you. And temptation that you're experiencing is really just diagnosing what already got in. And so that's really one of the major things that really share with the players. And so therefore, that's why the Bible says that in the great house, there are two vessels of honor and to dishonor, gold and of wood. It says, but if a man will purge himself of these, he'll be a vessel unto honor, meet for the master's use. And so that really is what my goal is to help these guys get purged. Because the reality is if we're okay saying this, that sometimes the organization as a whole can benefit when these guys have vices because they can be controlled. And so that's also, again,
that's
why
it's interesting.
Absolutely. And that's why it's important that they learn their identity and understand that their freedom is in Christ. And therefore, football is a tool instead of football is something that just uses them. Because, of course, you realize that their statistics, the greatest statistic now that I really grapple with the players is the fact that 3 years after retirement, 70% of all NFL players are broke and divorced. And that is a consistent statistic.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Their minds don't get renewed.
Well, it's interesting probably because it goes back to that identity thing.
Absolutely.
If your identity was only in this and what everybody was saying, one of the quotes we talked about last week was my friend who has done some work with Hollywood, who said the greater the fame, sometimes the greater the insecurity.
Absolutely.
So we all look at the images that are given.
Sure.
The fans all look at the images that are given, and we think those guys must be there. They're strong, they're healthy, they're fast.
Yeah.
They must be the most secure people in the world. But they are just simply like the rest of us, just on a more amplified stage.
Absolutely. What you said reminded me of, he wouldn't mind if I said this, but Donovan McNabb used to come to the Bible study. And prior to that, I used to say, hey, Donovan, you know, when you coming? And he would say, hey, hold your breath, you know. And then, of course, when he got injured, Donovan actually went to Trey Thomas, who attended the Bible study, and said, yo, man, I really want to come to Bible study, but I don't want you guys to think that I'm just coming because I'm injured. And Trey just said something that kind of speaks to what you said. And they said, yo, dog, we're all injured. That's why we're here.
How about that?
And Donovan started coming to Bible study and never stopped until he was off the team.
Wow, that's great. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good reminder for, you know, so often, Pastor Ted, you've probably seen this as well, people think they're not good enough to come into a church.
Absolutely.
Right? And it's really not that. The place
is a hospital.
Absolutely, the church is a hospital. You can only get in it if you're sick, right? You know, you can't get it in if you're perfect.
Sure.
There's a lot of times, you know, when I go back to my story, when I used to feel unworthy, felt unworthy of being in the presence of the Lord. So I didn't want to, I would pray, but I wouldn't want to go and be in the presence of the Lord. Because to me, that's God's house, and I'm doing my own thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can take myself into that environment.
Sure.
It wasn't until, you know, I grew and matured and came to accept the Lord. I feel that there's a lot of guys who may be what you're saying, like kind of thinking from the outside, you know, what do I do? How do I get in there?
Sure.
What kind of setup do you have different? Do you reach out to them yourself, or do you have other guys, maybe the veterans, the more mature guys? Do they reach out to them? How does that work?
Yeah, you're talking about to get to those guys.
Yeah.
Well, it really kind of is both, you know. So the older vets, you know, kind of reach out to those guys. And it's over the years I've had an opportunity kind of just to have more leeway. So now I'll actually just walk through the halls, you know, or sit – and in the cafeteria, and guys will just gather around and we'll just start talking. Sometimes it seems like I have two Bible studies, the one that gathers in the room and the one that just congregates, because we're just being real men. So, yeah.
That's interesting. Now, you see a lot of the rookies come into wealth. They come into fame overnight. Like, it just happens for them like that. I talk the Eagles' third-round pick, Russell Douglas, who's talking about just a few years ago, when he's practicing hungry. He hasn't eaten food. He's buying dollar meals and happy because that's what he's living on.
Sure.
So now instantly their lives are transformed and they come into all this money. And as we said, the temptations start to come. A lot of these guys, now you got to be careful who wants to surround themselves with you.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, the women, who wants to be as Eli Apple's? Remember Eli Apple's mom said, ladies sliding into your DMs now all of a sudden on Twitter.
Eli used to go to my church. He used to pray for him when he was in high school.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. How about that? That's a great story. Yeah. So you got to caution them, not only that, hey, first of all, you got to keep your priorities right, number one, but you have to be careful who is influencing your life, correct?
Absolutely, 100%. And again, I think that's really what we don't realize is the moment that some of these guys show that they have the ability, that's when it starts. I know there are players that coming into college, they actually owe people money. Because when they're in high school, there are some people out there that see that these young men have talent, may not have means, and start giving their parents money. I know players that by the time that they get in the NFL, they have an agent, and then they have an agent. So I've seen players blow through. I could name his name, but I'm not. Blow through rookie that came in, he blew through $2 million in 9 months.
How about that?
Got cut because he got injured and was spent a year sleeping on somebody's mattress. He's actually back in the NFL and just signed a lucrative contract. But again, the reality is like I said, many of them are really set up to be taken advantage of. If they're back to this whole point about identity, if their identity is not rooted and grounded in something greater than something that is temporary.
Well, it's like the prodigal son.
I was just going to say,
isn't it?
Because
that guy found his identity as he had a lot of friends until he ran out of money.
Absolutely.
And you maybe wonder if that's part of the 70% of everybody being flat broke and
that's
losing your marriage, because you think your identity is, and all those people saying you're really great, and then when you're not buying them anything, you're not so great anymore.
And even think about it, that's what I tell them. Even think about it. Autographs. The fact that someone would ask you for an autograph and you would write on a shirt or a ball and all of a sudden it's worth thousands of dollars, it's not real. And the reality is, as we all know, yo, when they're not playing football, those things are, they're giving them away. And so that's what I also share to them. When you really understand what this is about, that should humble you instead of blow your head up, because it's really not
real. Hard, though. It is hard. Yeah. You know, like I said, I got to intern with the Eagles for a little bit. And, you know, it was back when, like, Coy Detmer was there, David Akers. It was McNabb's rookie year.
Absolutely.
You know, but when you're walking out of the tarmac to get on a plane and everybody's looking at you, even though you're the literally the lowest on the totem pole.
Yes.
Like, you are.
Even if you're the kicker?
I was lower than the kicker. But you know what? People said, hey, you look like a kicker. You'd be like, ah, yeah. I look like a kicker, right? But it does feed your ego. And people think that in some cases, you're more worthy just because of having that position. And it's really hard to fight against that ego when people are feeding it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, even if you are grounded, even if you have good morals and good values, it's kind of like, wow, people are paying more attention to me. Unless you're intentional, it's really, really
difficult. It's amazing. You know, there are two ways to learn: experience and instruction. And a lot of times people think experience is the best way, but a lot of times it could be the worst. And so I know probably maybe about 5 or maybe about 7 years ago, I got a letter from Damon Moore. Y'all remember Damon?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Damon asked me to read the letter in Bible study. And it was actually his testimony, negative testimony of what happened to him because he didn't listen. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, you know, kind of telling all of them kind of where he is. I think he's doing better now. But he was just saying that, you guys, this is real. It's not a game. Do not get caught up in all of this. And don't find yourself in the place that I'm in. And I thought that was very courageous of him.
How often do you meet with the guys? Tell everybody out there, you know, what it's like, because obviously Sundays in the NFL, they got to be playing football. Do you meet you meet with them during the week? I believe, like, is it Thursday nights they do Bible
Thursday
study?
Thursday nights Bible study. Monday night, like, for example, this last season, Thursday nights Bible studies in the facility. Monday night, we actually were at Chase Daniels' house and we did a couple study. We had about 30 people came out to that. And then I'll actually do sometimes personal counseling at the facility. We also do premarital counseling, my wife and I. My wife actually does Bible studies with the players' wives individually. Or while I'm doing with the guys, she's with the ladies.
That's probably a whole nother challenge, because the families have a whole other identity too, based upon how their husbands play.
Yeah, and most of the time the young ladies lose their identity by following their husband, which also causes the statistic, because when the game is over, now things change.
And that's one of those things that you see a lot of. You say you do premarital counseling. Mm-hmm. A lot of these young guys, they're in serious relations, and they're getting married at a young age.
Yes.
And I know I wasn't ready at their age. But for them to be ready at that age, that speaks to their maturity and their walk, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Well, and again, but that's why it really is important, because many of them get married for the wrong reasons. And many of them don't understand what marriage is about, which, again, like I said, why I believe that just the ministry that's taking place is so important.
Hey, can I ask one final question for you real quick? Pastor Ted, obviously you got a really amazing ministry with these players. How can we pray? How can our listeners pray for you, those that are listening, saying, hey, I can't necessarily make it into the clubhouse, but I can pray for this pastor and chaplain as he ministers there?
Yeah, just to pray, because I tell you what happens is I'm constantly stretched to make sure that I'm being authentic with them. So really just pray for my authenticity, that I would be able to continue to be transparent and open with these guys, because even though I'm leading them, it's the same. I tell them, I said, you know, I'm not a super Christian. I just make better decisions, you know, and just that to pray that I would continue to make better decisions, to be able to be an authentic leader.
That's Pastor Ted Winsley, Philadelphia Eagles team chaplain, also the pastor at the Family Church in New Jersey, joining us for our cross-training segment, which is powered by Boggs Auto Collision Rebuilders. Pastor Ted, thank you for being here. We really appreciated it. Before we get out of here, we want to tell everybody, if they're tuning in on Facebook Live on 610 Radio, you can also download our podcast, Faith on the Field Show podcast. What else can they do? How else can they find us?
You subscribe to our Facebook page, so Faith on the Field, also Twitter, Faith on the Field. Go to our website, faithonthefieldshow.com, and you can always listen to our episodes and then obviously go into iTunes and download the podcast so you can listen to us anytime and share it out.
I want to say thank you to our sponsors, Eastern University and Boggs Auto Collision Rebuilders, Pastor Scott Foreman for all his technical skills, Jewel Bug Photography. We got to say thank you to our wives. Thank you to Ryan Lennox for producing the show, Elevation Worship for our intro song. I'm Rob Motti for Doug Horton, for Pastor Phil Moser and Pastor Ted Wensley, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.